By the way, on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean show, about 8 a.m., the return of Santa Carl.
Very exciting.
Really is one of the most fun things we get to do all year. Santa Carl will be here to talk to your little boy or girl. That'll be tomorrow morning, just about this time here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we got a lot of press releases here at the Kevin and Bean Show with people that are being pitched as potential guests. And this one really this caught our attention because I didn't know that this was a thing, but it is. It's called the Clairvoyant Gourmet. You ever heard those words put together, you guys?
No.
This is a woman who was being pitched to us who can contact dead relatives on the other side in case you want to know what their recipes were for things that they used to make when they were alive.
So not are you happy or what right. should I have done, but what's the recipe for cake?
Yeah.
Yes. Do you wish you knew how to make your grandmother's famous pecan pie? You ever wonder where your uncle's secret ingredient in his honey glazed ham was? Oh,
you don't want to know that.
That one concerns me a lot. So we couldn't get a hold of Clairvoyant Gourmet, but apparently this is an actual cottage industry in America now where people are doing that. So we have two things happening here. One is we invite your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067 right now. If you are in this situation where there's a relative who's passed on and you want a recipe, we can help you out because, ladies and gentlemen, the recipe psychic has joined us in studio right now. Miles St. Clair is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mr. St. Clair, how are you, sir?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me.
So you are not related to the recipe. You are the recipe psychic. You are not related to the Clairvoyant Gourmet, though.
No, Janie is, I have nothing but the utmost respect for her, but she's a fraud.
Oh, no, really?
Oh, she can't really do what she's claiming to do.
No, I have been contacting the other side regarding food recipes and for many, many years and with great success. And Janie is, I believe she is trying to usurp my position in the psychic community. She is a medium, but I am an extra large.
It's a surprise to me that there's one person that can talk to people who have passed on and get a recipe, let alone two.
Well, there was one at one point, another or two.
I see.
But
she's a fraud.
So you're the OG.
Well, listen, I'm just here to help. And
okay.
And if Janie's helping people, then I think that's all that matters. But in terms of success rate, in terms of achieving contact with the other side and actually getting recipes for people, I think in that small subset,
that's a very specific talent.
That's a group of two.
I've dominated the industry for many, many years.
I would love to hear some stuff.
Of course, you can always go to recipe psychic milesaintclair.com. I'll do readings on the phone. I can do readings via text.
That's interesting.
So go there, and I'm happy to help, especially around this time. It's this time of the holiday season. A lot of people have a lot of questions, like making jambalaya. How many hot peppers do I need?
Can't they just get a recipe book or look it up on the internet?
Well, not if you want to recreate something that Meemaw made.
Oh, something special for your family. All right, we're going to go to some calls here, but ahead of that, because we're taking calls at 1-800-520-1067, if there's a recipe that you've lost someone in your family, now's your chance to get it back with the recipe psychic. What kinds of information are you going to need from the callers? What should
Nothing.
They be prepared to
I don't
to
want
tell-
anyone to ever suspect that this is something that's not real.
You just feel it in their voice?
I will talk to the person, and then I will be contacted from the other side by a relative.
Okay.
And I will be able to give them the recipe or details about the recipe so that their holidays can be merry and bright.
All right. Well, let's go to Mission Hills on line one. This is going to be Garrett. He's first one through. He has a question for the recipe psychic, Miles St. Clair. Garrett, thank you for calling. You're on the air, sir.
Miles, I can't believe I get to talk to you in person
like this. Thank you, Garrett. I appreciate it.
You've been following Miles, have you?
I've followed him for years.
All right.
It's the greatest experience ever.
Thank you, Garrett.
My grandfather passed away recently.
Yes, he did. You're right.
Yeah, he was a big vodka drinker, and he used to make vodka on the rocks, and I'd love to know how he made it.
Yes. Let me give you – hold on a second. I'm getting a strong grandfather hit.
Is that Garrett's grandpa we're hearing right now?
I'm afraid to say, but I believe that your grandfather's name, if I'm not correct, I'm getting a D. Grandfather's name is D. Dennis, D. Dan, D. D. David, D.
Is D ringing a bell, Garrett?
Garrett, is there a D in your grandfather's name? I'm getting a strong D.
Yeah, his middle name was
Dale.
All right, there it is.
So I'm getting the vodka recipe. Rocks. Yes, there's ice. There's vodka. Oh, his special ingredient was kumquats.
What?
Kumquats.
Kumquats.
In a vodka cocktail?
Well, just the essence, just the zest. What you do is you take a cheese grater, and you just get the zest of the kumquat from the outside of it, and then just a touch.
Sounds terrible.
Okay. I got to be honest.
Enjoy all that, right. Garrett.
Thank you for the call. Merry holidays. Let's try Daniela Southgate, line three,
Daniela.
Please. She has a very specific reason for calling you today, the recipe segment.
Daniela.
Hi, I'm calling because I'm pregnant and I've been craving my grandma's tamales.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are pregnant. I'm getting a strong pregnancy.
Well, she just told you. She's aware that she's pregnant.
Grandma's tamales. Now, I'm getting a sense. I'm just trying to pick up the vibration from the other side. I'm getting some sort of... Is it a Latina and Hispanic vibe I'm feeling? Something that your family is somehow Hispanic or Latino? Is that
Yes.
Thank you.
Grandma's tamales. She said grandma's tamales.
In the tamales, the special flavoring was, and this is going to be hard to get, possum.
What? Really?
Yes.
In a tamale?
Yes.
Are you sure about that?
I could never have been more sure about anything in my life, Daniela. So here's the thing.
Where she got the possum?
That's the problem. Possum is hard to come by these days. I suggest, I don't know, get a trap.
Maybe in the backyard
we could just get a little, put some peanut butter on a Ritz and just put it inside one of those live traps and just get yourself some possum. And then, again, just a touch, just the sousson of the possum.
That's a lot of work for a pregnant lady, I'll tell you.
Well, listen, baby needs what baby wants.
All right, Daniela, thank you for calling. He is the recipe psychic, ladies and gentlemen. Miles St. Clair, thank you for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bachelorette Report in 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show with Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis talking about last night's episode. By the way, two bachelorettes this week, last night and tonight. What? No response to that?
No.
Come on, that's twice the pleasure.
Embarrassment of riches.
That's right, it's too much. Plus, your tickets for Weezer and Panic at the Disco all coming up here on K-Rock. Dave, the King of Mexico, how are you, sir?
Good. How you guys doing?
I want to talk about this article that came out in NME, I want to say, the New Musical Express, talking about a trend that is a small one at this point, but it may expand depending on how artists and concertgoers like it, about not letting you not only use but not have your cell phones when you go to concerts. Now, you were a part of an audience just like that last week. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so we went to the Prophets of Rage at the Whiskey. And as we're about to enter, they ask for your phones. And I was like, okay. So I give them my phone. And they get this little sleeve. And they put the phone in there and lock it. Like with a...
Lock your phone in a sleeve.
With this magnetic lock.
Okay.
And then they give it to you and say, all right, we'll unlock it at the end of the show. Because there's no phones.
Oh, so
no
they
cameras.
Give it right back to you, but you just can't use it.
You're carrying
no
it.
No access.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just
okay.
don't have access to it.
Okay.
So you have this.
I'm glad
this
to hear that
sleeve.
Because in my mind, you were handing them your phone and they were just throwing it in a bucket and then you were going to have to pick it out at the end of the show.
Some venues do that. They did that for Mumford & Sons.
Then you just pick the best one.
Yeah. Right. So how do you find your phone, though? Do you literally have to go through and press
pick
power
the best
on all
one?
Of them?
I just answered that.
Okay.
Yeah, call me. No, but it's this company called Yonder, and it's like this sleeve. And it, you know, like when you buy clothes, or they have those magnetic locks?
Yeah.
So
sure.
It's like that, where at the end, they unlock it, and you get your phone back. Okay. But you have to carry this thing, this big, long sleeve, for the entire show.
Was it unwieldy, uncomfortable?
Yeah, is it that much bigger than your phone?
It's way bigger than your
it
phone,
okay.
But it fits in your pocket, so it's not that okay. big of a deal, you know?
So did that create a long line of people having to leave the venue because they all had to get their phones unlocked?
Nope, it was really fast.
Really?
Yeah,
now, that's a surprise.
Click, unlock, get your phone out, next.
But, I mean, I guess it's a super small venue,
and
too.
This is the Whiskey, so it's not that many people.
Yeah, this wouldn't be doable at a forum show. For
not instance. Even a little bit.
Not even
well,
a little
I looked
bit.
Up this company, Yonder, and there is actually an unlock zone. So when you walk out of where you would be essentially watching the show, mm-hmm. maybe into a hallway or something like that, it will unlock for you.
Oh,
so you're not actually with your phone
cool.
the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting
Yeah, at the Whiskey,
idea.
They were literally grabbing it clicking it and then giving you your phone back.
Like, all right. So, Dave. Yes. So, did you feel put upon paying to go? In your case, you didn't pay, but most people paid.
Yeah.
To go see a show and then not be able to take a photo for your own memory.
Oh, Dave brought an iPad.
Shut up. I did not bring an iPad.
Use an iPad once at a show, Dave.
Jesus Christ.
Dave shot video at an iPad.
What time?
Yes, but you block like six
Who rows. Cares? Those for work. What time?
But my question,
I learned my lesson.
iPad.
My question, Dave, is did you feel like, were you disappointed that you weren't able, hey, I'm there. I'd love to be able to take a photo of these guys on stage that I could put on my social media, that I could have just as a memory. Did that bum you out to not have that ability?
You know what? Knowing that there was another show, I wasn't, but I really enjoyed the fact
because
that
you knew about,
I
the,
knew
Palladium.
About the Palladium show.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
But I really enjoyed the fact that no one had a phone.
Really?
And,
it didn't bug you that
it
you
didn't bug me that I didn't.
That's shocking.
Like, a little bit, it kind of did. The only concern I had was I couldn't get to my phone to check time. I couldn't check, you know, I think the NBA basketball, the finals were starting that day. I couldn't
right.
check the scores, you know.
But you're seeing Prophets of Rage at the Whiskey.
Yeah, but I'm talking
all
this
the
before.
Rest of that can wait.
This is all before, okay. You know, like waiting
but
for the
Kevin,
back goal.
But how often do people not put their eyes on their phone for an hour? I mean, it just, that doesn't, those hours don't
yeah,
exist
I mean,
anymore.
For the most part, yeah.
Even in the movies, you see people who want to look down at their phone just to make sure they're not getting texts or whatever, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, during the show, my phone was going off and I was getting texts and stuff, and it was weird that it was vibrating in my butt, you know, like, it was like,
they put it in your butt?
Well,
that's such a weird place to store it.
Sounds like a problem.
Well, I think it would be interesting to hear from the Kevin and Bean listeners whether they like this or not. Would they like this if this became the norm at concerts, where you go in and not only can't you use your phone, but nobody can use their phone? Is this something that would make the concert experience better for you? Something that you would be against and try to avoid? I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. If you had a choice, Dave, the next concert you went to, would you like to see this in effect? Or
you know what? I think it depends. If it's a small show, like in little clubs, I would love to see no phones. But in a big show, you can't do that. You kind of need your phones.
How come?
I don't know why. I can't explain
it.
Like at the Palladium, it was great to take photos and, you know, I was pretty far back, so I'll zoom in and get a good photo and then put it away and enjoy the show. But
not everybody does that responsibly.
Not at all.
Most of the time, there are people who videotape the entire show and they're not watching.
Yeah, there was a guy in front of me who had flash on. He's a mile away from it and he's lighting up the whole, you know, the whole area.
Here's my question. What if you're a doctor on call? What if you're at the show, but your kid, you know, had a fever before you left? Like situations like that where you need
that is scary. Yeah.
To have your phone.
First of all, I think that's a pretty, pretty small minority.
Now, I know a lot of doctors on call that go to shows.
Having said that, isn't there an area they can step out to and use it?
Well, with this company, but what about the Mumford and Son show where you literally gave them your phone and
somebody's
then at the end, like
baby,
when
I can't
went
figure
to see,
out which phone it is.
When I went to see Star Wars.
Right.
I had to give them my phone.
Right, yeah.
And then go back and collect it. Mm-hmm. And it's jarring. It really is.
It is jarring because we've all become used to 24/7 connectivity. Mm-hmm. But there were hundreds of years where we did things without ever having a phone on us.
Well, I don't remember those times, old man.
And we survived. So it's possible. All right, Allie, how about you? Are you yay or nay for this if this becomes more widespread in the industry?
I feel like maybe we don't need people telling us what we can and can't do with our personal belongings. To me, I think it's setting a bad precedent.
I think you allow the phones, but you're much more active on taking action against people who are using it poorly, who are videotaping the whole thing, holding their phone up, taking pictures the whole time. Kick them. Kick
them
out.
Well, I mean,
let everybody else have
them. But who kicks them out, Kevin?
The security.
So security would go around and say, okay, already filmed one
put your
song,
phone
you're not
away.
Allowed to
it
film anymore.
At the Prince shows I was at.
Yeah,
you
for instance,
literally were like, oh, sorry.
Here at the Sound Space, we ask everybody, you know, listen, the first song, first couple of songs, sure, shoot away, but then put your phone down. You know, we're here for a limited number of songs. Take your photos and then put them away, because enjoy the show. And that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, you maybe know? that's the way to go to give people the opportunity.
But that's also voluntary. We say please take the pictures in the first two or three songs, and then please put them away.
Yeah, but
we're not forcing it.
If people start taking pictures. We tell them
they
maybe
shoot them.
We kick them in the neck.
Well, I don't know that we trank dart. Trank dart first, and then if they won't let go, then shot.
I'm sure the people on stage appreciate the fact that phones aren't looking at them, and people are.
Yeah, that would suck as somebody on stage.
Chip, does that happen to you where people are just shooting phones?
I mean, well, yeah, but you notice that even like when I go to see like the Vandals or whatever like that, all you see is people with their phones up. You're like, just put it down for a second. Enjoy the show.
Maybe we can just raise non-assholes.
Let's not be ridiculous.
Okay. All right.
Beer Mug is a father, so I don't know. I think we've already lost that
that's a good
battle.
Point.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Jen, Erica, Joshua, Ramsey, Kelly, please hang on. We'll take your calls next right after this on K-Rock.
Feel like we should have a signal.
I think so. Dear Kevin and Bean, Nicholas writes in, wouldn't no cell phones make you enjoy the concert more? If you're paying attention to the show, there's no need to take pictures. Bring it on. But I guess I think the thing that we're saying here is that not everybody agrees with Nicholas, right? There are people who want to take photos and they want to take video because they want to have that for themselves. Eric writes in, I hate the people who are videoing themselves singing to the show.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Yep. Yeah, nope, nobody needs that. So there's a movement, it's a tiny one at this point, about restricting or banning cell phone use at concerts. That's what we're talking about at 1-800-520-1067. It happened in L.A. just last week with the Prophets of Rage show. Ali, you mentioned it was a part of the Mumford & Sons tiny shows that they did for the Wilder Mind album, where they're just not letting you have or use your phone. And we want to find out what you think about it this morning, because maybe it's the wave of the future. I don't know. Let's talk to Jen first. She's in Diamond Bar. She's up first on line one.
Hey, Jen.
Hi.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you. I love the idea. I love the idea of being tuned in to the show, but I have twin two-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
So not having access to it makes me nervous.
Mm-hmm. Understandable.
But couldn't you just step out, make a call, step back in?
And if Allie said that it would work the way, like, I didn't have to go see someone, like, hey, my phone's gone off 500 times, can you open it for me? Like, if there's a way to do that, then I'm on board 100%.
I agree. Right. A place like a company like this Yonder Place that has areas that it does unlock, I think that's great. But
so step out into the lobby, in other words.
Yeah, but a situation where you actually give them your phone, that scares me a bit.
That scares me a bit, too.
Yeah, I'm worried about, you know, what if something happens and my phone's not in my possession. I'm a crappy parent then.
All right, Jen, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's try Erica up next. Whittier, line two.
All right. Hi, Erica.
Yeah, I was really annoyed at first. I thought Prophets of Rage was, like, too good to be on social media. But once the show started, I loved it. It was great. Nobody had their phones in the air. Everybody was present in the moment, you know, in the pit. And it felt like a show back in the 90s. Like, we all survived that show back in the day without our phones, and it was great.
Sure. So it was a better concert experience having everybody play by the same rules. Nobody gets a phone.
Definitely. And they did allow you to step outside if your phone was going off and unlock it. So that was no problem.
Okay,
Erica. I have kids, too, and I didn't worry about it.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Montebello, line three. This is going to be Joshua. I think he disagrees.
Hey, Joshua.
Hey, what's going on? I really, really, really don't like cell phone use at concerts. I was just at the drive-in show over at the Palladium this last week, and also saw Thrice at the Shrine. And my girlfriend and I love to be in the middle of the pit. And while I'm tall and I could see the band clearly, my girlfriend is 4'11". And when everybody brings their cell phones out and they're holding up their arms and such anyways, it makes it even harder for her to see what's going on or to be a part of the concert experience.
But it's not our fault that you date a midget. Come on. How is that on us?
Date somebody taller.
Date a human. Date a full-size human.
Stop it. That's messed up. But it's still annoying to be in the moment, you know. You want to be in the moment and present with the band. And just sitting there recording it to show off to your friends and stuff later on
Let me ask all of you a question, though. Mm-hmm. It would be nice to have your phone, but if people are abusing the privilege, take the phone. Why is that not an option?
Yeah, why don't they just, like, have the security or something?
Right.
You know, they do it at some things anyways. Just tell them, hey, put your cell phone down. You're not allowed to record, or you're not allowed to do something like that, or have it up.
You know, warning, then take it. Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's possible. I think that would be a difficult policing situation. It would be like a giant game of whack-a-mole for a security person to be going around an entire venue and just trying to stop everybody from using their phone.
I guess.
I mean, I think it's certainly possible. But, yeah, I mean, maybe there is some sort of middle ground where you can use your phone but not for the whole show or something like that. Thank you very much for the call, though. We appreciate it. I do wonder, and again, it's a personal choice. Look, everybody bought a ticket to get in there, so who are we to tell them how to enjoy the show? But do you think they enjoy it as much when they're watching the concert, not on the stage but on their screen in front of them?
I don't know. I don't have the answer. Probably not. Probably not.
Let's go to Drea, by the way. She's in Norwalk. She's on line 8.
All right. Hello. Hey, Drea. Hi.
Yes. Hi. I have a love and hate relationship for this.
Okay.
Because I personally go to shows a lot. And I'm usually on the media side, so I kind of have the privilege to have, you know, my phone out and things like that on stage or whatnot. But I can see why people wouldn't want to have them, because I'm looking at the crowd, and, yeah, they're short people. There's people swerving around trying to get, you know, that picture. And it's kind of tough. It's kind of tough to say.
So you're calling to tell us you have no idea how you feel on this issue.
No, I definitely know on a blogger side perspective for sure. But as far as me going to a show, I guess personally if I was like on the opposite end, I would probably say, yeah, no, I think phones is cool. I can't deny that because you have memories to share.
Okay. I can't wait to read your blog.
I can't decipher what she's saying at all. Anyone else?
Nope.
Okay, thank you for the call.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
And here at the holidays or anytime all year long, one of our favorite people in the world to talk to is LaQuisha.
Hey, everybody. You know how we have LaQuisha on our show and she likes to review the reality TV shows?
Sure.
Well, we've got her on the line right now, and she's ready to review a Christmas classic. Hello, LaQuisha.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. Merry Christmas.
To you, too.
Happy Kwanzaa to you, LaQuisha.
I'm not celebrating no Kwanzaa.
Oh, I thought that was...
I'm celebrating Christmas.
Okay.
All right. My bad. I'm sorry.
I was flipping around the TV, cause, as I want to do, you know, because I love watching the television.
You do.
And I came across that show, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. You know that little show?
Yeah, it's a classic. They show it every year.
Yeah, a little cartoon show.
Right.
So I'm watching it for the first time in a long time, and I said, damn, there's some things wrong with this show.
That's a perfect Christmas show. They show it every year. What could be wrong with it?
No, it isn't. I'll tell you something. All the little Who's down in Whoville, they are celebrating Christmas and getting ready and stuff. And the one person who doesn't want Christmas to come is the Grinch, right?
Right.
That's right.
Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not.
Mm-hmm. You know why the Grinch is living outside the city limits?
But he doesn't like people.
No, because he's the only colored person in the whole neighborhood.
Oh, LaQuisha, what are you talking about?
All the little Who's are all pink and fuzzy and whatnot, and the Grinch, he's got some color. He's green, so he can't live with everybody else. They put him in the slums.
Oh, LaQuisha.
Oh, he's got to be the bad one because he's colored. That's why.
No one is saying that, LaQuisha. That's crazy.
That's exactly what they're saying.
Oh, you're missing the whole point.
I think you're missing the whole point. Mm-hmm. And then the Grinch don't like Christmas because of all the presents and whatnot that the Who's play with.
Right.
And they make a lot of noise and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Like this.
And they play noisy games like Zuzivakaze.
What the hell is that, Zuzivakaze?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know what that
is. What the hell he talking about?
Well, it's based on the popular Dr. Seuss children's book, and he was kind of famous for just making up crazy words that sounded funny. That's all that's it.
Like a job to have for a grown man making up words? Shut up, Dr. Seuss. Well, anyway, he goes and takes all the toys and whatnot from the Who's, right?
Right.
He breaks into their homes and steals their Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a secret subliminal racist message.
Oh, come on, LaQuisha.
Oh, the colored Who goes into people's homes and steal their gifts.
That is not what it's about at all. You're missing the whole point.
Well, it turns out, even though they have no toys to play with and no food and whatnot, the people of Whoville still happy about Christmas and stuff. And the Grinch, he changes his mind and learns the real meaning of Christmas.
That's right. That's right, LaQuisha. That's a beautiful message that the spirit of Christmas is that it's not about the presents you get. It's about the being together with your friends and family for the holiday.
Yeah, and this is what happens to him when he discovers that.
And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Oh, like that's a good thing?
His heart grew bigger.
I had a cousin who had an enlarged heart. My cousin, Cliniqua, and she had to go to the hospital because her heart got enlarged.
No, but his heart was so tiny to begin with.
That's a lie to say your heart gets big, that's a good thing for Christmas, because she happened to her in the holidays,
LaQuisha,
and she missed out on all the holidays being in a hospital.
LaQuisha, who hurt you?
I'm just saying this show is not right for Christmas time. And then the Grinch, who is colored again, if I remind you, he learns a special lesson. They invite him to come and sit down and carve the rare who beast or whatever they're cooking, and everybody has a good time. Mm-hmm. Like he steals their stuff, and they're just going to welcome him on in. Oh, sit down. Have yourself a meal. Try that in my neighborhood. You get cut.
Well, no one wants that.
No, but it's the spirit of Christmas. They're saying, we understand what you're going through. You understand what we're going through. Let's all get together and hold hands and have a meal.
Yeah, I know. That's the lesson we're all supposed to
learn. Right.
And here's the little lesson everyone gets told at the end of the show.
Christmas Day is in our grasp, so long as we have hands to clasp. Christmas Day will always be just as long as we have we. Welcome Christmas while we stand heart to heart and hand in hand.
Aw. Aw.
I gotta go. I got something in my eye.
Aw, see?
Oh, LaQuisha.
I gotta go now. I gotta get off the phone.
Merry Christmas, LaQuisha. Oh.
Hey, Bob Saget.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Don't come in here talking about Diet Mountain Dew when Diet Dr. Pepper still exists,
I do
friend.
Love Diet Dr. Pepper.
Diet Dr. Pepper is the best.
When I have a long... No sodas are supposed to be good for us, right? It hurts
That's
us.
True. That's true.
However, when I have a long drive, for some reason, I don't know if Diet Dr. Pepper has caffeine in it, but I feel
it does. Absolutely does.
And it does taste like you're not drinking some diet soda. So yeah. I think I should be a spokesperson at this point.
Well, you're going to have to fight me for that.
Well, we want a case of it at least free out of that. Remember those days you could mention something on radio and a refrigerator would be in your home?
I actually mentioned Diet Dr. Pepper on the air and I got about 40 cases.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. I think we still have a couple in the office.
I love Diet Dr. Pepper a lot, too.
Well, let me just say this. Diet Dr. Pepper, Diet Dr. Pepper, Diet Dr. Pepper. I like Diet Dr. Pepper because I'm thin.
Now, Bob, I'm glad you're here. It's always, of course, always a pleasure to see you. And we'll talk about foolishness in a minute because you're kind enough to be donating your time Saturday night at the Shrine. We're very excited to
see
you.
Well, I'm very excited you're doing it, and it's one of the favorite things that I
do. It's a great night.
It's for a great cause.
But I want to talk about a couple of other things first, not the least of which is I am so jealous. When I saw that tape a couple of weeks ago, and I love looking at Bob's face as I say those words because he doesn't know which tape. And with Bob Saget, who knows what the tape could be?
Was it the back of my head?
The tape that I saw of you on stage in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yes, sir.
Singing with Carly Rae Jepsen, who I love so much.
Is that facetious?
No, he loves her. I adore her.
I think she's adorable.
And she's so talented.
She is. She's not just a huge star. She is not a Call Me Maybe one hit wonder.
No, not at all.
She's the real deal. She loves what she does. She's working hard. Her new album's pretty good.
It's great. The new emotion is great.
She does the theme to Fuller House.
She does. She sings that, and she loves Diet Dr. Pepper.
Does she?
Yeah, because she's proud.
So you were in Milwaukee
doing
your stand-up, and she was in Milwaukee doing a concert, and somehow you kids got together and you ended up on stage.
Yeah, there were two theaters not far from each other owned by the same people, and I wound up, which means there are probably some kind of illegal activities going on. I don't know. I'm kidding.
But let's say synergy.
Synergy is what it
there
is.
There you go.
I'll just agree with everything. Let's improv morning. And I went, I asked her tour manager, would she want me to come out and would she want to sing the things, the theme from Fuller House, which, by the way, you know, I know how to, I can sing a little bit. I do it. I'll be doing it on Saturday at your show. Mm-hmm. God help everyone. But she's like four octaves higher than me because she's young and she's a lady. And she's a singer. Correct. And I'm a gravelly voiced Dr. Pepper drinker.
But your singing is better than her stand-up comedy, I bet.
I don't know. She's pretty funny.
Okay. All right.
So I don't really know that.
You don't win that one either then.
That's a lose-lose for me. But I walked
But you were in Grease Live as Frenchie.
Yeah, I was.
You know what? I think that was actually also her.
I was actually an understudy for Frenchie. I was in the back trying to just Frenchie the chorus girls. But she had me come out on stage, and I walked out, and we never met, and it was absolutely adorable. And you can't hear anything over the videos. There's many that were taken. It's so funny. Rolling Stone can use as a source anybody's iPhone.
Right.
And the thing is just people screaming, "I love you, Bob." And there's 16, so I'm thinking of calling the police myself. Because it wasn't just, "I love you," like a dad. So it was kind of creepy.
Well, but you've kept your looks, though, Bob. I think that's
thank
credit.
You. I'm no John Stamos. But, you know.
No one is.
No, he's not even him anymore. He's a robot, actually.
Did I see something this week that he's getting some sort of major television award?
He like is.
He's Icon Award or
he's
something?
He's getting something. It'll get cleared up with an antibiotic. But he is getting the TV Land Icon Award, and it's hosted by George Lopez. And Norman Lear is also receiving this great honor.
Wow.
And John Stamos is getting it as being an icon of television. And
he is certainly an icon of television.
He is. Before I met him, he had been on General Hospital for years. He'd been on a show called Dreams and Jack Klugman, You Again. And then he's done so much for so many years, and he's a good woman.
What kind of reaction have you gotten from fans? You're very good about talking to your fans, and you get approached a lot. But
I love them.
Since Fuller House hit Netflix, do people come up to you and talk to you a lot about it? And if so, what kinds of comments do you hear about the show?
The younger people are saying, "All my dreams have come true." So I kind of think they don't even think they need a future. They just think that it's glad there's a reboot of a show that they grew up with.
Well, we have limited expectations these days. We're not expecting to go to Mars anymore.
No.
We just want to see more Full House episodes. I think as a country, I think we've set the bar very low for what we want to accomplish.
Just an In-N-Out burger will make their month, you know?
Right.
But and God, Dr. Pepper. But it's really been quite wonderful because people love the tone of the show, and the producers, Jeff Franklin, Bob Boyette, and John at the helm also partially, have made it have the same tone and the same themes. And I did one episode where I end up with a – I'm doing a spoiler alert, but I end up with the couch gets destroyed, and the fabric on the couch is ruined by the dog, and I'm upset because these are very, very deep episodes. These themes go dark. And
you are practically the Carmichael show at this point.
So I come home and then I see the couch is I'm very upset that it's not going to be the right fabric. And she takes off the sheet and it's the same. They had it redone in the same fabric. Not only that, but they made it the extra fabric. They made a blazer for me. So I've got
a nice looking suit.
I have a couch blazer and a sofa blazer. And I call myself a couch chameleon. You do your alliteration.
That's fantastic.
In your sitcom. And I have it. I have it at home. And it is made of the material of the couch of Fuller House.
Will you wear it Saturday?
I will not. But
come on.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
I'll come out in it and I'll change quickly.
I like it.
Or maybe I'll leave in it.
Bob, I have to ask, and I'm not trying to embarrass anybody here, but I have to ask, when the show hit Netflix, what's it been, a couple months now?
February 26th is when it started.
The number one trending topic was, oh my God, how hot did Jodie Sweetin grow up to be? And look at her and look at those. I mean, there was a lot of that
All right,
going
Bean.
On.
You could have just said hot.
When he
it's
says
true.
Those, he means Candace and Andrea.
That's exactly what I mean.
DJ and Kim Gibbler, yeah.
Okay.
And tell me about that. I mean, is that...
She's always been a good dancer, and she always worked out.
Uh-huh.
And...
paid off.
Yeah. Yes. And she's actually kicking it on Dancing with the Stars, which I normally would not watch, but I vote like 30 times. I go to payphones. I do anything I can to vote for her, the 800 number.
Aww, that's
well, I love her. I mean,
You guys really do treat these actors as it's a second family.
I know something's wrong with us all. We really. But, you know, it's 8 years. They were kids. And the fact that we stayed friends and they're adults is, to me, really super cool because I always thought that, you know, Gary Coleman and Conrad Bain from Different Strokes did not stay buddies.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Well, unfortunately, Gary's gone, and so is Conrad. So maybe they're together somewhere.
Yeah, maybe they're friends again, yeah.
Maybe they're pals playing poker. But
in Heaven with Abraham, the fish.
Abraham the fish?
Yeah, that was a weird pull.
What was that? Was that from that show, Different Strokes?
Yeah, it was this black fish, and...
Oh, wow. Why the fish got to be black, Allie?
It's a good point. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm staying away from this area.
It's probably good.
I think we all should.
But to answer your question, she is very attractive.
She's lovely.
I'm guest. You know, us legacy cast, John and Dave and Lori mm-hmm. and myself, we guest on the show. Really, it's the girls' show, mm-hmm. girls', which is real good English because Mark Twain is my idol, and the little boys on the show that are one day going to be really older men, and then the show will be gone, and then they'll come back with them. And I'll come in as an urn. But it'll be fullest house.
By then they'll have the hologram thing figured out and your ghost will appear. Oh, and it'll be like you're still on the show.
It'll be so Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's going to be
well,
great.
I'm but saying
all
that
I was going to say was that if I was in the show all the time, I'd probably just keep covering her up with sweaters and don't you go out of the house looking like that, honey.
Yeah.
Or the show should be in 3D, you know.
Yeah, the dad instincts would definitely kick in at some point, I guess. All right, well, listen, we got to take a break. Bob Saget is here. And as you mentioned, you're joining us Saturday night for Kevin Bean's April Fool's Just 2016 at the Shrine. And
looking forward to it.
I think it's going to be your second time on the bill, if I'm
right. It is.
And we're so excited to have you. So we thought this might be fun, Bob, since we have a pair of tickets to give away up close in the That's My John section. This is the closest seats to the stage, and you get the backstage party with the cat, you know, with the crew, and you get the parking and the T-shirt and the whole thing. We thought it might be funny, since you're a professional comedian,
yes,
to have our listeners call in and try to make you laugh.
Fascinating.
And then you can help us pick someone who deserves the tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Fool's Nest. Are you down with that?
I'm so down.
All right. Are you a guy who likes jokes? And the reason I ask is because your style of stand-up is really more conversational. It's more stories.
It is, and it's riffing, but I do like jokes.
You're okay with jokes?
I was raised on jokes by my dad.
Okay.
And my mom raised me on just oatmeal.
So if you think you can make professional comedian Bob Saget laugh, we want to hear your best joke. The winner wins tickets to join us to see Bob this Saturday night at the Shrine. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. We'll take your calls next right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Bob Saget in studio with us right now. He's going to be on the bill this Saturday night at the Shrine Auditorium.
With a lot of good comedians, too. Like
Eddie Eft is going to be there. Gabriela Iglesias, Greg Fitzsimmons, the wonderful Eliza Schlesinger, and her little dog Blanche. Our friend Jay Moore, and the comedy musical stylings of Wheeler Walker Jr. So it's going to be a fun night. Bob, how long have you been doing stand-up now?
Since I was 17, so that would be like, I don't know, almost 40 years.
Are you good at it yet?
No. I'm getting better. I'm working on a new hour, and I've been on tour because I want to do a new hour special because it's different than it was. And I'll do some of it as long as I don't YouTube it.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'll make the announcement. No recording of any kind.
You're welcome to do a front room artist rendering.
Exactly.
I ask that question because a lot of comedians, you know, even the guys, the best guys who ever have done it, they always say there's no such thing as a perfect set. And you can always come off stage and go, oh, man, if I just switch those two words around or put a little more pause in there. I mean, you never get it just right.
Or had a different attitude. I've had a couple that were so good I couldn't believe it. I was in this is unbelievable. Jacksonville, Florida last week. And I did an hour and 45 minutes, which I haven't done in a while. And because I'm working on a lot of new stuff. And mm-hmm. I thought it was like one of my most fun sets I ever had. But then it's just like, you know, what Laurence Olivier used to say, that they would say, that's the best performance. I can't believe what I just saw. And he was all depressed because he goes, I don't know how I did it.
You
don't know.
You can't bottle it. Yeah,
you can't. It's magic. You know, you'll do a show, I'm sure, and you'll go, man, that was the best show this morning. That was unbelievable.
No.
Oh crap, we got to come back tomorrow.
Well, we do have that second part a lot. The oh crap, I got to come back tomorrow. Do you still get a crazy high from performing, or have you spent so many hours on stage that it's just another day at work?
It is. It's a pleasant adrenaline now, and I look forward to it more this year than I have in a long time. And I think it's because I was on Broadway over November, December, a little bit of January.
Bragger.
And I think that yeah, right? And that it just kind of changed me. And the book that I wrote had me thinking Bragger. And writing in a different way. New York Times bestselling book. And it just kind of made me want to slow down more. And I used to always be running from the law while I was on stage, you know, and talk like I just did, you know, during the moment of silence because I'm enjoying silence sometimes.
I feel like you're all grown up.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be
you're
60.
Mature, Bob Sack. No, you're not going to be 60.
I am going to be 60. My lower parts are 35, but I'm going to. Yeah, they're great. They have a young nanny goat, but but I had turned 60 in May, and I don't feel it, you know. And now I'm on a workout thing because I had put on a couple pounds over Broadway.
You
and
look fantastic, Bob.
I
don't just say that because I hope to make out with you Saturday night. I'm telling you, you look great.
Well, that hope's turning into a yes.
All right. Let's take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. We have a pair of tickets right now in the That's My John section to join us at the Shrine this Saturday night. It's time to make Bob laugh.
Can you make Bob laugh?
All right. 1-800-520-1067.
I want to know who wrote that.
I don't think
Omar. I want to be friends with them.
Omar did not put a lot of time into that one. Why don't we start with line two? This is going to be Ryan in L.A. We'll just go through real fast. We don't have a lot of time for chit-chat. Let's just hear the joke and get out, and then Bob will help us decide who gets the tickets. Ryan, you're up first, though. What's your joke to make Bob laugh?
Hello? Me?
Yes, go ahead, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
So a mushroom walks into a bar and sits down and orders a drink. The bartender goes, "I'm sorry, we don't serve your kind around here." The mushroom goes, "Come on, I'm a fun guy."
That's very cute. Very cute. It sounds like a killer in second grade.
All right.
I like it.
Hang on, Ryan. You are still in the running to be America's Next Top Model. I'm sorry. No, to win tickets to April Foolishness on Saturday. I got the wrong competition.
Verse exchange.
Let's try Steve in Azusa. He's up next on the Kevin Beach Show. Steve, can you make Bob laugh?
I will.
Can you make Bob laugh?
That's Let's why that joke. Song is so short.
Go ahead, Steve.
All right, here we go. What is the space between Kim Kardashian's breasts and butt called?
I don't know.
Silicon Valley.
Ooh, see what you did there?
I wrote something like that down once. It's very, very smart. It was really good, and thank you.
We'll listen love the to the next.
Yeah, they're short. Everything's supposed to be Great. Short.
Thank you, Steve. You hang on. Let's try line five. This is going to be Michael. He is in Hacienda Heights. Mike, you're on the air. Go ahead. Make Bob laugh.
All right, Bob, how did the butcher introduce his wife?
I don't know how.
Meet Patty.
I'm a fan of that one, Mike.
All right, very funny. Thank you very much for the call. Line seven is up next. We go to Huntington Beach. This is going to be our man, Robert. Robert, you are on the air. Go ahead, please.
Okay, hi, Bob.
Hey, Robert.
What did the blonde customer say after reading the buxom waitress's name tag?
This can't
what did
be
he
that.
Name the other one?
Go ahead. Say
what
it
did
again.
You mean the other one.
I cut you off twice. Go ahead, Robert.
Robert needs some of that. Some of that the, timing that what, you were talking about. That breathing.
What did the blonde customer say to who?
What did the blonde customer say after reading the buxom waitress's name tag?
What?
What did you name the other one?
Okay, was that worth it, guys? Oh, yeah. I don't know that.
It was because it meant one of her breasts was named and the other was.
Oh, that's what we're going for. Okay, all right. Let's do one more. Let's make it line eight. This is Pomona and David. Can you make Bob laugh?
Can you make Bob laugh?
All right, David. Last shot. What do you got?
All right. So, what do you call a bunch of midgets at a party?
So politically correct. I don't know what.
It's just a little get together.
It's cute. That's very, very cute.
And by the way, excellent understated delivery, too. I have to give it up for David. All right, Bob, let's see. Do you have a favorite? We had a little get-together there with David and Pomona. Of course, the blonde customer with the Bucks and Rachel's was Robert in Huntington Beach, Michael in Hacienda Heights with the meat patty. We had Steve in Azusa with the Silicon Valley, and then a little fun guy was Ryan in Los Angeles. Who do you like of this batch?
Well, I hope I don't offend anybody, but my dad was in the meat business for many years, so I am really feeling strong about meat patty.
Ladies and gentlemen, line five, our friend Michael from Hacienda Heights. Mike, congratulations. We will see you up close at the Shrine Saturday night in the That's My John section. How's that sound?
Woohoo! I'm happy.
Happy to see you, Michael. I hope not to see you at the show. No, I'll be happy to touch your hand and bring Patty.
Mike, you hang on. Hang on. We'll give you all the information. Bob, we'll see you Saturday night. You said you're bringing your guitar?
Yeah, or someone's getting me one. But, yeah, I'm going to do it. I did that last time I did you guys. And there's a song that's relevant, so I think I kind of have to play it once more.
But thank you in advance, and I know we'll shower you with the love that you require on Saturday night, but I just want to say, ahead of the weekend, thank you so much for doing it. You and all the other great comedians that donate your time, because let's face it, you could be making a ton of money anywhere in this country on a Saturday night, but you're giving it up to come work with us, and we really appreciate
it. Or I could be out, you know, looking for a date, but that I think this is more important to help the two places you're doing. You're helping, postnatal care, wonderful babies.
Cedar Sinai NICU.
That's right.
Right, yep. And the Fisher House, which
great charities.
So these are great things you're doing, and so all the money goes to that. And
of course, my friend.
And me. You're paying me a huge amount of money.
You misunderstood that, but I'll give you a hearty handshake. I'll see you on Saturday night. Thanks for coming in, Bob.
And a Diet Dr. Pepper. Thank you.
Spark one up and sing along. Merry Christmas, everybody. Rock, 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 rock and roll, Christmas, ho, ho, ho. Rock, 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 rock and roll, Christmas. It makes you love the world. Exchanging gifts, hearts, a love and kiss. Ho, 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 Merry Christmas. My chestnut is roasting on an open fire. I'm baking brownies with the marijuana. Spark one up for Christmas. Don't you wish if you open your gifts and you find a bag of weed? And don't you like the stoner Santa gives you a present like that? I'm so baked! Christmas is a good time of the year. I love you all. You know why? I'm born in Christmas Eve. If you don't believe me, check my DMV. What? Christmas! Christmas, whole lot of weed, whole lot of joints. Do me a favor, just spark one up for Christmas. Santa is a stoner. Can't you see his face is lights up? Even the reindeer, Rudolph reindeer, the nose is red because he gave him a pass it around. You know what I mean? Ho, ho, ho! This is bullshit.
Right?
Right.
Who's with me?
Oh, so with you.
It's 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q, and the Kevin and Bean Show. We have a meeting after the show every day where we discuss a variety of topics, one of which is what we're going to do on the next day's program. But then sometimes little conversations pop up out of nowhere that surprise me.
Yeah.
Like, why is the King of Mexico – why did the King of Mexico see Beer Mug naked, for instance? Like, I don't understand that. So how did that
happen?
Well,
he was a bad boy and needed to be punished. Because sometimes you have to pay the price.
Because the king won't stop talking about it. I do know that.
Well, would you? If you saw like a horrific interstate pileup, if it was the worst disaster you had ever witnessed, just if you saw, I don't know, say 30, 40 cars just smashing into each other on black ice and smoke and fire and carnage, would you ever be able to stop telling that story?
No, that would be burned into your brain forever.
Right, right.
Yeah,
and
I guess you'd have
to. And so with Dave Sanchez.
Dare you. Muggs, how did he see you naked?
There was a picture circulating that he happened to see.
Who would take a picture of that?
My frontal area.
Okay.
Why?
Wow.
Why would a photo like that be released into the wild? That's the type of thing that should be 20 miles beneath the Earth's surface.
Right.
In a locked vault.
In a salt mine in Utah or something where they keep radioactive materials.
It's something that I'd rather not discuss.
His lovely fiance thought it would be nice to freak me out.
All right. Dave says that your lovely fiance tried to freak Dave out.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least she knows that's a weapon. At least she knows she has something she can wield.
So wait, so your fiancé had a naked picture of you, and I don't want more information about why or how that happened,
yeah.
And then decided to just start sharing it around?
Well, she took it without me knowing to screw with me.
Oh, no.
And she likes to imbibe alcohol and start showing it to people.
Uh-huh.
And that's how that happened with Dave.
That sounds like revenge porn to me.
Yeah, it almost is. It almost is.
All right. So
if you may, if I may, Bean, if you let me
yes, please,
here.
Please.
By all accounts.
Because I'm queasy already.
By all accounts, it's just heinous. It's just a horrible, horrible display of just hirsute, just awfulness and thick brush.
Oh.
And it looks like overgrown awfulness. By all accounts,
number one, it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Dave keeps saying it's an overgrown thick thatch of just wiry black awfulness.
It's changed, Dave. It really has.
It's not, his eyes won't stop watering. I know that.
It's not that bad.
His eyes will smell that forever.
Oh.
Your eyes could smell?
Yes, that's how bad the picture is. That's my point, Beer Mug. That was the joke.
So
Jesus Christ.
So that comes up in the meeting yesterday, and then Beer Mug says...
Well, then I say...
Yeah.
I jumped in and said, what's wrong with you? Why don't you manscape? I mean, I myself am a huge proponent of the manscaping.
Oh, I don't need to know any of this.
I shave in the shower.
Oh, God.
Two regions every morning. I've got two. I do my face.
Okay.
Got my shower mirror on the wall. My shaving mirror on the shower wall. And then, of course, I have to take care of business where it counts, you know?
So you're so clean, so fresh all the time.
I am trimmed tight in some areas, and I am shaved clean in other areas.
Wow.
And if I may say, the wife is very appreciative. As ladies are.
So I say to Beer Mug,
what's wrong with you? Why don't you simply take care of yourself and do a little manscaping? And that's when we got the miracle.
Yep.
That's when the skies parted and a beam of light came down from heaven, and we got this little kernel of this nugget of knowledge from all-knowing, all-seeing, all-wise Beer Mug.
Yes.
And what was the sentence that came out of your mouth when Ralph asked you that question, Mugs?
Manscaping is actually bad for you.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Beer Mug Explains.
Beer Mug is really lame. Beer Mug has no brain. That's what we used to think, but now Beer Mug is so bright. He has the answer, also a pretty good dancer, has the cure for cancer. Beer Mug, come in light. Beer Mug explains things. Beer Mug explains things. Beer Mug explains things. We are dumb dumbs. Come on and tell us how it is, cause you are such a whiz. It's time for Beer Mug explains things.
Okay, now look,
Can't dab. We're finding that out during
No kidding.
I get if it's a personal choice not to do that. It's
nope.
It's a wrong choice,
Bean?
But it's a personal choice. I get that.
First of all, why is it a wrong choice? Wrong choice to not manscape or to
not manscape?
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I get that.
No, Bean. No, it's much more than that.
Muggs' argument might be that that's just personal choice, but he's saying that it's bad for you.
Bad
like, it's
for
medically
you.
A mistake to manscape.
He followed up yesterday, it's bad for you. It's unhealthy.
It is.
And, all right, then what don't we know?
Okay, Mugs? What the general population does not know.
Oh, thank God you're here.
Is, well, I used to be a proponent of this, and I quickly found out that all the side effects I'd have from shaving that area were not only uncomfortable, but a serious hazard to your health. Number one of them being.
Don't use a weed whacker, first of all.
But you needed one, Ralph. You heard about the photo.
First of all,
can't just go in there with a regular pair of scissors.
You need a machete and a guide.
First of all, God created man to have that area.
I didn't know we were going to theological.
Full of pubic hair, okay?
Right. To protect you because you used to be naked when you lived in the wild. That's why.
Well,
now you have pants.
Well, so I came across an article on this website called lifecheating.com that actually pointed out all the hazards of manscaping. And one of them, the serious problem being it's a higher risk for sexually transmitted diseases. There's no hair to protect you from those diseases. Okay. And you are quicker to contract something without hair than you are with.
And
AKA General Warts. And this General Warts.
General Warts.
General Warts.
He's a sergeant.
I served under him in the Korean conflict.
And Muggs, how are STDs a concern between you and your fiance? Well, they're not. You could contract an STD from a toilet seat. In a public bathroom?
Jesus. Oh, God.
Yes.
No.
Yes, you can.
This is crap science. You know what? Don't rub your junk all over a toilet seat.
Sometimes
you'll be fine.
I can't help it. Sometimes the junk hits the toilet seat.
Sweet Jesus.
And if you have a hairless area...
You need to worry about how to be taught how to use a toilet more than you do about manscaping.
If you have a hairless area, you're twice as likely to catch those things.
Twice as likely. Twice as likely,
science,
you're saying.
Alex.
Yes.
Science.
Yes. It's science.
First of all, it's
science.
Oh, Jesus.
Number two, the skin problems is astronomical
but
when you shave your area.
You don't know how to shave.
No, you're not.
I'm doing it wrong.
I've done it in the shower like Ralph with hot water.
Are you talking about like ingrown hairs and stuff
ingrown
like that?
Ingrown hairs, rashes. You can.
Why are you yelling?
Sorry. You can have boils and abscesses.
Oh.
Yeah. Allergic reactions.
Sure.
Razor bumps. Who wants razor bumps on their area down there?
First of all,
razor bumps on your face is uncomfortable.
First of all, if you do it right, that's not a concern.
I did it right with hot water. I made sure my hair follicles were nice and open and loose, and I cleaned the area after. And you still get it. It's impossible.
Are you saying no one should ever shave their face then? Because some people get skin bumps on their face.
Well, that's your face, not your area.
What's the difference? If you're shaving, you're shaving. If shaving is bad because of these reasons, then why wouldn't it be bad for the face? Something that people see on a regular basis.
I think your area skin is
Stop pointing to your junk and rubbing it.
Your area skin is more sensitive than your face skin, Ralph.
Your face skin is exposed. Your face gets conditioned to it like anything else. It just becomes, once you do it on a regular basis, those issues go away.
What about the fact that pubic hair controls your body temperature?
Oh, my God.
When you shave that area...
You live in the Arctic?
No.
What are you concerned about?
No, when you're walking around and it's 108 degrees in Los Angeles or in the Valley
Wouldn't
or wherever...
Would you rather not have hair?
Right.
You get
more cooler?
No, because the hair actually creates oils when evaporated, cools that area down. I'm serious.
None of this is science.
I'm reading it from a website...
How many degrees do you think your pubic hair controls on an average day when it's 108 out?
I've noticed.
Are you feeling like, wow, it's like a balmy 50 now because I have pubic hair?
I've noticed significantly how much cooler it is after I shave that area and it's a hot summer day. You know how disgusting I feel down there? It's like a moist, like, swamp down there with no hair.
Jesus.
And with the hair, it's just more comfortable.
Okay.
It's more comfortable.
Yeah, look.
Your jungle that you're rocking.
I feel like I've gotten dumber in the last, like, 5 minutes.
No. We're almost out of time here, Muggs, but how about this?
You know, none of this, by the way, keeps you from trimming, by the way. None of it keeps you from cutting back.
Let me mention that.
The heinous undercarriage that you're rocking.
Trimming, Ralph. I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, because causes cancer, right?
No, it does not.
You're twice as likely to get alopecia.
It causes the
hair to fall off?
No. It causes the hair to grow in thicker than it would have if you left it alone.
Not
so you're
trimming.
Gonna have, yes, trimming, Allie.
How would trimming?
Yeah, how does trimming
you're not
affect
getting it down
the
to
growth.
The follicle. You're just trimming the dead parts off.
Are you a hair scientist?
I am, actually.
Okay.
Thank you. Are you?
Yes.
Oh, good
Muggs,
Lord.
You're just saying things that aren't true
right,
and don't
just,
make sense.
You're just making stuff
you're
up
making
to back
stuff
up your awful hygiene.
So you guys don't... No, I don't have... First of all, I don't have awful...
Look at you.
Someone's going to have the argument, oh, it's must smell down there. No, I take a shower every day. You take a shower every day, you're fine.
Okay. Look, we're out of time here, but I think the solution is obvious because you clearly don't know how to shave. I think Ralph needs to manscape you. I think that's what needs to happen. Ralph will show you how it's
done. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll wax him.
All right.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Would you really?
Oh,
that's
gladly.
Worse.
If I get my friend that owns a spa to come in and show you how to do it, will you do
it? I will load him up with hot wax.
All right.
And then I will just rip it right out of his skin.
All right. Queen Bee Salon and Culver
Hopefully
City.
Hopefully draw
ready.
Blood.
That is not good for
I'm
you.
I'm hoping to draw blood is what I want to do. I want to hear screams and I want to see blood.
We have not heard the end of this topic, but look at these calls. We may have to revisit this at another time because we're out of time for right now, I'm sorry to say. But this has been Beer Mug Explains.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Beer Mug explains things.
We are starting to take a look back at the year that was 2016 here on the Kevin Amin Show. And by the way, if you missed yesterday's show, do yourself a favor.
You don't need to hear it.
Check out the podcast.
You don't need to hear it.
Yesterday was the top 10 moments with.
It's not necessary.
And I don't know how many years we've been doing it. We've been counting down the moments with the screw-ups here on the Kevin Amin Show. But Kevin, once again, ladies and gentlemen, undisputed champion of the world. And it was pretty great. So you want to definitely check it out.
It didn't stick to the tape, Bean. It's odd. You just go to it. It's completely blank.
Weird.
I don't know
what happened. I got erased, huh? That's weird.
Yeah.
Well, we're very excited to – this is a top five this time around, and we're very excited to introduce this to you because as you've heard us say a million times if you've been listening to this show for any length of time, one of the great perks of working at K-Rock, and in particular doing this job on the Kevin and Bean Show, is the musicians that come in and somehow manage to perform live before 10 o'clock in the morning and sound as great as they do. And every year, we look back and we go, wow, how fun was it to have those bands and those artists stop by to see us.
And we have the top five performances of 2016.
Live music. Music. We love it. Love it. It's legit when bands come in and kill it. Kill it. On Kevin and Bean. For 2016.
The top five performances of 2016.
And apparently we also have that intro. Okay, so the top five performances of 2016. These are acts that we had on the show that played live. And number five is that wonderful band Kaleo. And what a voice this guy. Hey, I'm still setting the thing up here.
I didn't know how long you were going to go. You said Kaleo. I figured that was the sign.
And what a voice this guy has. And how great is this band. And their whole record is so good. And they came in and they did a little song that you may know and love called Way Down We Go.
That's when you...
down to your core. Yes, we can't grow no more. And we're down we go, 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 go. From where down we go. And we're down we go. That's pretty sweet. Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Number four on the list of the top five performances of 2016. We did a breakfast with this show.
What?
Do you want to set
why
up the
does
clips?
It make me laugh
why
every
is it so hard? Why is it so hard?
I was just doing that to anger you.
We did a breakfast this year with an all-time K-Rock legend. For decades, he has been entertaining us with his music, and I'm talking about Sting. And yes, Kevin, now is the time to play one of the songs he did that morning in the Red Bull Sound Space.
Love can mend your life, but love can't break your heart. I sell that as so.
He was amazing, right?
He was so good.
If you like that kind of thing, good music.
Yeah. And such a smart guy and such a great interview and so fun. I love that.
And by the way, backstage, you know, we're back there explaining, you know, how the show usually works. Could it be more kind? Like, he doesn't realize he's Sting. And that's really refreshing.
Yeah, I had no business being in the building, that's for sure. Number three is a band that I am super psyched to see again. They killed it at Weenie Roast. They're playing Acoustic Christmas again this weekend, and they are out of Canada. They're called the Strumbellas. And I'm telling you what, you've heard one or two songs from them. Get the whole album because it is great back to front. And here they are doing their song Spirits.
But they say, oh, how the good die young. But we're all strange, and maybe we don't want to change. I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. But the gun still rattles, the gun still rattles. Oh.
Remember their other song they did? We Don't Know?
Yes.
And the violin and their harmonies. It was so moving and so beautiful.
Yeah, nice acoustic versions of those songs. That's the Lexapro version of Spirits right there, by the way. Next up is a band that I love, love, love so much out of England. New Musical Express, the big trade paper over there, named them the number one artist of the year for the UK. They're called the 1975, and they were the most surprising to me of all the acts that came by because they really stripped it down. You know, you see them live, and they're so high energy, and then they came in and they did a totally different version, and here they are singing their hit Somebody Else. About you, somebody else. Our love's gone cold, you're intertwined, your soul with somebody else. I'm looking through you while you're looking through your phone, and leaving with somebody else. I wish your body, a picture in your body. You remember we had Matt, singer for that band, in Studio Alley. He had a lot of thoughts on a lot of things.
He was a smart, deep little cookie wearing a really ugly sweater, but I appreciated it. Loved him.
And we're counting down the top five performances of 2016. We are at number one. This is another band that has become really, we've become very close with over the last couple of years because they played a bunch of our shows and they couldn't be any sweeter, any nicer. And they're local and they grew up listening to K-Rock. And it was as much fun for us as it was for them when they came in to play for us, the X-Ambassadors. Here's a little bit of their number one song, Unsteady.
Take me out to the ball.
That is Scottie Pippen, I believe.
Take me out to the ball.
Singing the
they, really, they really nailed this.
Although
they forgot the words.
You hit the wrong button.
That's sort of on them.
Now we're looking for the X-Ambassadors. Is the tape.
Right.
X-Ambassadors.
Yeah! Yeah!
Let's hear some Unsteady instead, shall we?
I'm a little unsteady here. Little unsteady here. Oh, hold on, hold on to me. 'Cause I'm a little unsteady here. Little unsteady here.
Pretty sweet, right?
So good.
What a voice. Anyway, there you go. Kaleo, Sting, the Strumbellas, the 1975, and X-Ambassadors. Those are your top five performances here on the Kevin and Bean Show of 2016.
The top five performances of 2016.
If you haven't heard, by the way, we're having a K-Rock Halloween ball. It's going to be next Friday night, 1 week from tonight at the Fonda Theater. A little musical act known as the Red Hot Chili Peppers are going to be performing live. And we're going to be giving away some tickets in about 30 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Get all the details at K-Rock.com.
So, Snoopy has been on the MetLife blimp for how long?
Well, the MetLife Insurance Company worked a deal out with the Peanuts crew about 31 years ago. And they have been, as you point out, they've been on the blimps, and you see their big balloons in the Thanksgiving Day Parade at Macy's in New York every year. And that's kind of been the face of the company. But they are no longer going to be doing domestic retail life insurance. They're just focusing on corporate clients. So they fired all the Peanuts crew.
No.
No more Peanuts. No more Charlie Brown. No more Snoopy. No more Linus. No more Lucy.
Oh.
So a lot of people are very disappointed because, you know, it's one of those associations that's gone on for a long time. When you see Peanuts, you think MetLife.
Yeah.
A lot of people are disappointed, would you say, Bean?
I know I am.
I am, too.
Thank you, Allie. I'm very sad. So we wanted to find out. I mean, it must be a major decision when you've got something that, you know, I think, in my mind, it's been very successful. It's worked for them. But, you know, you decide to cut the cord on that. I mean, what's that like for the people running the company? So we asked Dave, who could we talk to? We have the advertising director for MetLife Incorporated on the line. This could be Mr. Clark Owens, who joins us on K-Rock. Hi, Mr. Owens. Thanks so much for coming on.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure, sir. A lot of people were, I think, disappointed, if social media chatter was to be believed, at the decision that your company made to cut loose the Peanuts gang. What can you tell us about it?
Yes, it does seem like some people have been disappointed, but frankly, we've been with Snoopy and the whole gang for over 30 years, and frankly, this has been a long time coming. It's just time to cut ties with these people. They're a nightmare to work with, quite frankly.
Wait, what?
The Peanuts crew is?
Oh, they're the worst. First of all, Snoopy, the goddamn dog can't even talk. I mean, really, what kind of spokesperson is that, really?
Right.
He just goes around with a bowl in his mouth, always asking for food. I think he's got some sort of eating disorder, quite frankly.
Okay.
And, then he goes, ah, makes that noise. It's really annoying. And we think maybe something might be mentally wrong with the dog. He also seems to believe he is a pilot.
Yeah.
Quite often.
Well,
and we've asked him to get help, to get some sort of treatment, some sort of counseling, and he simply refuses. So, really, for due cause, we're able to let him go, as well as his bunch of little friends.
All
so,
of his friends as well, though, huh?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, you have no idea what it's like to put up with that goddamn piano music of Schroeder's all day and night in the office. We're sitting there, we're trying to work, and like, blah, 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 he's playing the freaking piano. It's just,
well, he loves his Beethoven. You know that.
Oh, it's a nightmare. How many for 30 years we've been listening to Beethoven? And so, Lucy, she's a bitch.
Yeah, right? She's not nice. Yeah,
oh,
I get it.
I can't tell you how many goddamn times I've been in the hallway and she's holding a football and I think she wants me to kick it.
Right.
And then I go to kick it, and you know what she does?
What?
She pulls the football away from me.
Oh, that's crazy.
What?
But just once, and you learn your lesson.
Well, you think I would, but it's been 31 years now, and I keep falling on my ass, and frankly, I'm just fed up with it.
Well, that's understandable. So in other words, it seems like fun on the other side of the TV, because we only see it 30 seconds at a time, but in real life, it's not fun.
Oh, and there's no diversity either. We're trying to be a diverse company, and they got one black kid, Franklin, and you rarely see him.
Yeah.
Once in a while, he shows up. I don't think they even talk to him. I think there's some sort of racist thing going on.
Oh, that's come on.
It's really unfortunate. And Charlie Brown, he's manic depressive. He's awful to be around. And frankly, also, there's some issues with sexual harassment on his part.
What Charlie? Are you talking about? He seems like such a sweet little kid.
We have a little red-haired girl who works in the office, and he just won't leave her alone.
Oh,
keeps stalking her and sending her Valentine's and stuff all year long, by the way, not just February.
Oh, that's all right. Wow.
And she's made several complaints, and he's got no hair. It's just weird for a child of that age to have no hair, just that one sort of pubic hair that hangs off the top of his head. It's disturbing to look at.
He's not living his best life.
It's not Linus. It's even more disturbing.
What's wrong with Linus?
Well, sometimes he'll sit at his cubicle there in the office, and he's got the blanket,
mm-hmm.
and then he puts the blanket over his lap.
Oh, no.
And reaches under the blanket.
No,
that's not happening.
Oh,
no.
We have no idea what's going on down there, but it's a weird little tent situation. frankly, we just had to let him go. So I say good riddance, and but they were never funny, right? We can all agree with that.
Oh, I mean, I don't agree.
I've never found them funny.
Bean? Oh, I can't wait till they're all dead.
Oh, come on.
How's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Sorry, me?
Yeah.
That's good.
What's your name?
Is that really important?
It is if we're going to become friends. What are you doing for Christmas this year?
I'm going to go spend it with family.
Mind if I come along?
Not enough room for that.
I'm making fudge over here. I can bring that. Dude, how's it going?
Good.
Don't you just love Christmas time?
Oh, yeah.
You make a Yule log or eggnog?
What's that?
You make a Yule log or eggnog? One or two?
Oh, two.
How's that going for you? I'm making something over here. Looks a lot like a fruitcake. Can you take a second and tell me the story of the baby Jesus?
How the animals and all the wise men.
Yeah. What's up with all that?
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Hey, how's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Fine.
What's your name?
Brian.
Brian, don't you just love Christmas? Know what I mean? My belt buckle is made out of mistletoe.
Why don't you shut the fuck up?
Hey, how's it going? Dude, how's it going? What's your name? Dude, what's your name?
Not now, man.
You like Christmas time like I do? Dude, you like Christmas time?
No, no.
You know what I call my penis? You know what my nickname is for my penis?
Excuse me?
You know what my nickname is for my penis? Jolly old Saint Dick.
I don't want to hear this, man.
Come on, it's jolly old Saint Dick.
Ralph, yesterday we were talking off the air. Or was it off the air or on the air? You told us Kevin Smith drinks.
I can't remember if it was off the air or not, but it's hardly relevant. Okay. Well, Kevin, my buddy Kevin Smith, who is my partner in Hollywood Babylon, Friday night, 10 p.m., improv.com. When we're on stage, I always have a cocktail on stage, and Kevin always has a tall, frosty glass of milk on stage. That's what he drinks. That's his favorite drink.
Okay.
All right.
And so in the course of our friendship, we were talking about it, and I think we talked about this in the last episode of Hollywood Babylon, actually. He said that his daughter sometimes gets upset with him because she's one of these not your mama, not your milk people. Are you familiar with that?
No.
No, what's that?
What does that mean?
Not your mom, not your milk. It's people who believe that you are not – humans shouldn't ingest – milk from other creatures.
Okay.
Like humans should drink the milk of mothers, human
but
mothers.
You should not drink cow milk.
And you should wean yourself off that. And when you're done with that, you're done with milk.
Don't
you don't need
milk.
That. You're eating solid foods. You don't need milk anymore.
Okay.
And so his daughter's always teasing him about this because he's drinking cow's milk. So you're not a calf. You shouldn't be drinking cow's milk. And we got into this conversation about how much he loves it. And he says, this is my favorite thing. I'm not giving this up. And I drink over 2 gallons of milk a day.
I think his math is off, because that's a lot of milk.
I would guess a person would know how much
I don't know, though.
Milk they drank
I'm
a
not
day.
Sure.
I know you love your conspiracy theories,
yes.
But I'm assuming he's capable of looking at 2 empty milk containers
he also has to
and
buy
counting
it.
To two.
How is he not peeing 24/7?
Well, do you know that he's not, first of all?
I don't know
do
anything
not.
About his urine habits,
okay.
But I know what he said, and I take the man at face value. And if he says he drinks 2 gallons of milk a day, then it's
what
he does.
2 gallons of milk a day?
But when he says gallons, he means quarts? Or
listen,
he means pints? Or he means glasses? What does he really mean? Because that seems like too much. It
isn't
like,
it 4 pints to a gallon?
I think
my measurements may be off. Is it 4 pints to a gallon?
Wait, I thought it was 4 quarts to a gallon.
Four quarts to a gallon?
2 quarts to a half gallon, 4 quarts to a gallon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you start first thing in the morning and,
right, do but nothing but drink milk.
And
but
if you're drinking milk all day, then I guess that would be the case.
Yeah, but you would be so full, you wouldn't ever eat.
Listen, God damn it. Listen.
No, I think it's too much, Ralph.
Well, who cares? Ralph's just telling us this is happening.
Okay, you know, he doesn't. All right, does that help you? Does that help this segment if I tell you he doesn't drink any milk? There you go. You win.
What do you
now
want
what?
Out of this,
Now,
Pete?
What do you want from me? Here, he only eats crack. He's one cracker a day. He drinks no fluids and a grape. There, you win. What now? What do you want to do now?
I'm just having trouble.
You are having trouble, all right.
I'm having trouble. Understanding
asshole.
How a human could process that much fluid. That's all I'm. That's the only thing. Look, it's. I'm not
but
doubting
it's
you.
Oh,
it's,
you're not doubting me. You just said it's not way, there's no way he could drink that much milk.
It's just surprising. It's surprising. Even you admit it.
Why
surprising.
Did you bring me in here to tell the story if you're just going to deny it?
Well, we're processing. We're thinking it over in our heads here. It just seems like a lot. Look,
it seems
all of us
impossible,
agree it seems like a lot.
But I'm willing to accept Ralph and Kevin's word on this. I don't need to see a scientific experiment proving it.
I am willing to accept it.
You want an affidavit? You want some sort of certificate of authenticity?
I will allow it.
I had a friend who, it was Diet Coke, and it was every minute of the day. And if that friend came over and we didn't have the Diet Coke, leave the house, go get the Diet Coke, come back. All day.
Like there was never a time where he or she didn't have a
correct
Coke in progress. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I don't believe you. I don't think that person did that.
I don't know.
No person could drink Diet Coke all day long, Kevin. That's just not happening.
So we are talking about, I know this sounds weird, but we are talking about food and or drink that you consume in a surprising quantity. Right?
Way too much of it in a day.
Way too much of it a day. Like nobody
Colin
around
Sabine
you
can deny
we're
that
doubt
you do
your
it.
Story. We're going to tell
right.
you that's not possible.
Yes.
Nobody around you can believe how much of this thing you eat every day or drink every day. That's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to line one in Culver City real quick. I think this is Artemisa. I don't know what the name is. He's got something to say about the 2 gallons a day with your little lying friend Kevin Smith. Hey, guy with a weird name. What's
or
up?
Or lady.
Hi, oh, lady girl. With a weird name. What's up?
Hi, girl.
How do you pronounce your name?
Artemisa.
That's a pretty name.
I apologize. What do you have to say about the Kevin Smith making up the thing about the 2 gallons?
No, I don't. I actually really do believe him. Growing up, even now, my brothers drink so much milk. I would always get mad at them. But yeah, they definitely drank at least 2 gallons a day.
2 gallons a day?
Yeah. Like, he would even put 1 gallon in the freezer just to have it really cold.
You
and
have
then,
to get ready. You got to prep.
Sure.
This is insane.
It is.
I feel like 2 gallons, it would be really difficult to get through. I really do. I feel like I would have to lay it out in the morning and go, all right, I got to drink this much every hour or I'm ready.
Of all the stories we've heard on this show, nothing has blown your minds more than someone drinking 2 gallons of milk.
I just feel like maybe there are not health benefits to that. Like too much calcium could be a problem. Like it's going to hurt his kidneys or something.
Okay, but that's not...
I don't know.
But that's not
in
that medical school,
concerned.
Did you?
Yes, yeah. I went to kidney school.
Thank you, Artemisa. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Ricky. She's in Lakewood. She's up next. She's online, too. Also calling about the milk. Hey, Ricky.
Hi, I love milk. Don't question my love of milk.
Okay, you love milk. Okay. That's a given. You love it. How much do you drink
it? Yeah, that's all I got.
How much
all
do you right. drink? How much
little,
milk do you drink?
A little over a gallon a day.
Is that acceptable? Is that believable for you people?
I think I'll accept that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe a gallon. I believe a gallon more than I believe 2 gallons.
What do you not believe?
A gallon of milk a day to gain weight, so it's also like a weight gaining thing.
Oh, now that's interesting. Now, do you know, Ralph, if Kevin Smith is drinking whole milk or not?
I
and how and where does he buy it?
He's gonna kill us.
And how much?
I'm so sorry.
And how much does he pay?
Sorry I got involved in this
for a gallon of milk, Ralph.
Just go about my
is
business.
It organic
plus tax.
Ricky, thank you for the call, my dear. I appreciate it. All right, what are you eating or drinking an alarming amount of? People can't even believe it. We want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock. Dear Kevin and Bean, Roger writes in, I drink so much Diet Coke and Diet Dr. Pepper that I sweat caramel coloring. I have had 6 in the past 2 hours. That's what Roger says, talking about amazing amounts of food or drink that you consume of one thing. From the 562, this one texted into the Kevin and Bean Show at the number 2 KROQ. Hey, Kevin and Bean, my sister eats crazy amounts of salt. She'll eat an apple and sprinkle salt on every bite. When we go to Subway or some other place, she'll take up to 10 salt packets. This is from Robert. He says she's a vegan, so maybe she does it for some sense of flavor. It sounds to me like she's addicted to the taste of salt is what it sounds like.
Sounds terrible.
That's also something that can lead to other things. If you crave certain things, like salt, that means you might have a disease. Like, I think it's Addison's disease.
That might
be. You should look into that.
Worth her checking out with a doctor, So we're taking your calls at 1-800.
Allie guesses your sickness.
Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We found out that Kevin Smith drinks 2 gallons of milk a day, and that surprises. But let's see what our listeners are into. Let's start in line 8, please. Let's go down to Newport and bring Patrick onto the show. Hey, Patrick.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
So let me start off by saying I know exactly how much of this I eat because I order it once a month.
Okay.
And I pay for it by the pound.
Okay.
Let's clear that up. I eat between 15 and 20 pounds of filet mignon a month.
Between 15 and 20 pounds? Wow. Yeah. How much is that a day? Are you eating like steak at every meal?
It depends. I either eat like a half pound filet or 1 pound, and I eat between 2 to 3 times a day.
Are you trying to bulk up?
No, I just have a friend who has a really good hookup on meat, so I get it for like $7 a pound.
I got a good meat hookup.
I mean, that could get really expensive.
I got the hookup on meat, though, Allie. My friend's got a hookup.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
It's usually like $20 a pound, so
I feel like
I get it cheap helps out.
I feel like you eat like a lion, though. I mean, don't you ever, like, sit down? Look, people love their steaks, but don't you ever sit down and go, I don't know if I could have steak again today. Once in a while, wouldn't it be great to have a chicken or something?
Yeah, it's not steak, though. It's filet mignon. Come on.
Okay, that's a good point.
It's filet mignon. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that.
I'm jealous of Patrick.
Let's go to line 4, Lake Forest. Let's see what Suzanne's got going on. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi.
So you or your boyfriend? Which?
It's my boyfriend.
Okay, and what does he drink?
He used to drink so much Kool-Aid pink lemonade, at least 2 gallons a day, that it ate a hole in his stomach.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he had to go to the emergency room because he was throwing up blood. He lost 6 pints of blood.
That isn't good for you. Oh, my God.
Yeah. All kinds of transfusions.
Oh, no. And
what is it in pink lemonade that is so damaging to your stomach?
The citrus.
The citrus. Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Man. Is he okay now?
Well, he has to take prescription level like Pepcid every single day. And every few years it flares up again. So it flared up after a beer festival a few years ago. And that's when we found out, luckily, we found out that he also had a heart condition the last time he went to the hospital.
Oh, Stephen, you got to trade him in.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's how it works.
No?
He's broke down, Suzanne. Man.
Oh, that's really sad.
I hope he's okay. Did he have serious cravings for the lemonade once he was forced to stop drinking it too?
He did, but it wasn't too bad because he knew it would kill him. The worst part about it was he didn't have insurance, so they basically kicked him out of the hospital while he was still bleeding.
Okay.
Oh,
we were having fun, right? We were having fun right till now.
Suzanne's leading her own chance.
Thank you, Suzanne. Let's try Carla, please. View Park, line 5. Like, View Park is a place that people could live, by the way. Hey, Carla.
Hey. Stop it. Hi, good morning, guys. How are you?
You eat what? Stop it! You eat what?
Ice. Copious amounts of ice.
Ice.
Ice!
I carry around a big old cup of ice.
At all times?
Most times, yes. The only time that I can't is at work, so I'll have a large cup from the coffee bean with a little beady ice, which is the best.
Is it just a chewing thing? It's like an oral fixation? You just need to be chewing something?
No, technically, it's actually a medical condition. It's called pica.
Okay.
I'm anemic, extremely anemic. I refuse to take iron.
Good.
So my body craves it.
I was going to ask Allie to diagnose you, but it sounds like you've already done that work for her.
Why don't you take the iron?
Because
it would save you a lot of
GI problems.
What?
No, it wasn't. No, it causes too many stomach upset.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
No, funny, so I get it at the local 7-Eleven near my house, and before I would just buy the cup and then fill up the ice, and then like a few months later, they started charging 99 cents.
That's BS, right?
Yeah, so then I had to start buying bags of ice. So I go
unbelievable.
Through about, wow. I know, can you believe those guys? So I go through at least like 3 or 4 bags a week.
Wow.
And to a point, so funny. One time I was just visiting my mom and my uncle, and I brought my bag of ice. I knew I was going to be there all day. We're barbecuing. My uncle asked my mom on the low, he says, "Hey, does your daughter carry around a bag of ice all the time?" And he's like, "No, she just brought it because she wanted it." He's like, "Oh, is that okay?" And then my boyfriend asked me, "Why do you have to have that?
I wish you were chewing ice right now."
I feel like that last part didn't help the story, Carla, but I'm glad you called, my dear.
Would you like to talk to the actual man himself?
The liar?
Since you don't believe me when I tell you the story about my friend, things that I know about my friend you don't believe.
Is this Kevin Smith?
Yes.
Why are you lying about milk?
Why are you lying, sir?
Look, I don't do 2 gallons a day, but I do at least 1 gallon of milk a day, sometimes 1.5 gallons. The top I've done is 2 gallons in a day, and it's not for a contest. I just enjoy it.
That's weird to like something enough. Like, after you've had 1.5 gallons, usually most people go, "I'm good with the milk."
Well, this is going to be, and I don't want to spread this or disseminate this as some sort of like, "You should follow my path," but I lost 85 pounds. It was mostly from drinking milk. I kind of called it the milk diet for myself because we do one of the many podcasts I do aside from Hollywood Babylon is a show called Edumacation. My friend Andy McElfrish, one of the factoids we had on the show, we talk about pseudoscience and science and stuff. And he talked about, like, you know, I used to like skim milk. And he was like, "Well, skim milk, they take the fat out, they replace it with sugar, so it's even worse for you. It's more of a sugary drink." He's going, "If you're going to drink milk, drink whole milk because it coats your stomach and makes you feel more full. The fat content in whole milk makes you feel sated, you know, the sense of satiety after you drink
milk." So then you're not hungry.
Bingo. So what I would do is every time I got hungry, I'd be like, "All right, I'll just go grab like a glass of milk or a swig of milk." And, you know, I'd take like a nice big swig, and sure enough, man, I felt sated. I was like, "Oh." So I kept doing that, and weight was dropping off. You know, I did other things. I walked and I drank vegetable juices one a day. But generally, I subsisted on – this is going to sound so weird. I mean, I guess it doesn't sound weird because it is kind of like Atkins-y. A lot of milk, a lot of cheese. It was a diet that I started when I was in Neuchâtel, Switzerland, because I looked at their breakfast, and it was all dairy, and these people are thin, dude.
You're like, that. There's no fat people here. What's going on? What's their secret?
I was like, what's something suspect here? And it turns out, like, it's the milk. So I became a real big fan of milk. Like, everywhere I go when we do shows and whatnot, like, my rider, it's not like – you know, big bottle of Grey Goose. It's like 1/2 gallon of organic milk.
Did somebody pick up all of Kevin Smith's milk?
So you're a milkaholic. But let me ask you this, Kevin. Aren't there a lot of calories in whole milk?
Yeah, absolutely. But there's more actually in a glass of skim milk. Because they take the fat out and replace it with sugar. If you take something out of something, you got to replace it with something else. So if you look at the, you know, this label on skim milk versus whole milk, I can't believe I've become the milk expert.
Yeah, here I am. It's weird.
If you look at the label, the sugar content is higher in skim milk than it is in whole milk. And again, less whole milk will fill you up than more skim milk, which has more sugar in it.
Okay.
I baffled my doctor. I went into my doctor and I did the checkup. I'm 45 and whatnot, the bend over fingers, all that stuff. But one of the things she did was she's like, you know, everything's reading fine, but like right now your cholesterol is off the charts. She's going, "I might need you to come back in and do another test." She's going, "Did you eat anything before you came into the test?" I said, no, I didn't eat anything. I said, "But I drink a lot of milk." And she goes, "Oh, all right. Well, how much milk?" And I was like, "Probably about 1.5 gallons a day."
Did she say, "No, you didn't"?
Yeah, she did. She was like, "You have to stop. You have to stop right now." And I was like, "Why?" And she goes, "Because milk makes you bloated." And I was like, "It didn't to me. I lost 85 pounds drinking milk." And so she's like, "Well, I want you to come in because I got to go deeper check on your cholesterol test here." And she did. She ran a test, and it was utterly fine. My cholesterol was absolutely fine. It wasn't abnormal by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah, so I don't know. Again, I'm hopefully a doctor or somebody who knows something about this will follow me and be like, "Don't listen to that fat idiot."
Nope, you're it.
Kill us all.
You're our specialist. Yeah,
you're our starter. Yeah. Hey, Kevin, real quick before you go, we got a tweet from Habba Zachary who says, "We have to ask you if that creates serious milk farts. Is that a problem?"
No,
actually, I'm not gassy at all. I tend to be more gassy if I eat solids, but milk has never really done that to me. I've found that I'm not as gassy when I'm drinking milk.
We are very different.
Yep.
You are.
And again, there's some people out there that are like, dude, you're not supposed to. Like, my kid gets really political about the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, she's not your moon, not your milk kind of thing. Well, not your mom, not your milk. But I, you know, and I know there's some people out there going, you're a grown man. Stop drinking milk with a child. But it's good for bones, particularly, like, I'm middle-aged, dude. Everything's breaking down, so I need as much calcium as possible.
All right. There you go. And Kevin Smith, you are or you are not a doctor?
I'm not a doctor. I feel so bad because people listening are like, he used to be cool and Silent Bob. And now he just sounds like a PSA. He's owned by Big Milk. He's owned by Big Milk.
I don't know. A life of smoking dope and drinking milk sounds pretty good to me, buddy.
They call me Mr. Milkweed.
All right, Kevin. Thanks for jumping on, man. We appreciate it.
Good talking to you guys.
Thank you, man. You too. I apologize to our other callers that we didn't have time to finish because we do have to clear the lines right now because we are doing one of our favorite contests. Ralph, you're in for this, right?
Oh, I can't wait. I was just feeding him in the other room.
Clucky's here. Yeah. Clucky is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Give him just a little corn. He loves corn.
Tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016 Saturday at Irvine Meadows. These are in the front rows. We're going to give you a chance to cluck the hits with us right after this. If you call now, 1-800-520-1067. Coming right back on K-Rock. Hey, WWE fans, Monday Night Raw is coming to town at Staples Center on October 3rd. We've got tickets you can win later this morning on the Kevin DeBean Show and qualify for ringside tickets. We'll announce that tomorrow. That's coming up on K-Rock. Let's talk about a new product that I did not know I needed. I didn't know it existed. I didn't know I needed it, but apparently I do. And it's called My Shiny Hiney.
Is anyone surprised that DJ Omar Khan brought this product to our attention?
No.
Not even a little.
No one spends more time considering his own butt than Omar Khan.
That's true. Yeah. This is a beehole brush.
Well, it's the world's first personal hygiene rear-end brush is what it is, Kevin.
Right. I mean, they say rear-end, but have you seen it?
I have not.
Yeah, it's uniquely shaped.
Yeah, it's for a specific part of your rear-end.
Right.
Sure.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm.
And here's some of the commercial so that you can see if you want it for yourself.
There's nothing better than feeling clean and confident. But are you really as clean as you should be? Not unless you've taken care of a very personal area that requires special attention. Stop resorting to one of these options. Now there's a solution. It's My Shiny Hiney.
Okay,
a
stop. Special. First of all, how difficult a decision was it for the voiceover actress to accept this job? Do you think she thought, do I want this on my resume? Is it worth it for the $200?
Probably.
Oh, I'd do it for free.
Right?
Yeah.
And second of all, what are they referring to when they talk about other options that seem to indicate we have been doing it wrong all these years because My Shiny Hiney wasn't available until now?
Like a face cloth was one of the pictures. Just things you're in
loofah.
In the shower with that you would clean your area.
Right. So now we're learning there's something better, more tailor-made.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
A specialty cleansing brush with an ergonomically designed handle to easily access that difficult-to-reach spot.
Okay.
They never really say what it is, but by looking at the product, you go, okay, yep.
So in other words, you can tell from the shape of the brush where it's meant to go. Now, next time we have Dr. Mo on from the hospital, let's find out how many My Shiny Heinies he's had to surgically remove.
That's a good point.
My Shiny Heiny comes in 6 colors and includes a suction cup shower holder, so it's...
Okay.
That's the part that I was like, wait, why?
If there's a suction cup shower holder.
So it's always in your shower. So people.
Available.
Like if you live with someone, they're constantly looking at the thing that you clean your butthole with.
Right.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, that seems like maybe that's something that should be in a drawer somewhere
right.
in your room.
But that's a trade off for it being available when needed.
And point, available know? In 6 colors,
right.
by the way.
Yeah.
My Shiny Heiny comes in 6 colors and includes a suction cup shower holder, so it's always right where you need it. The formed bristle brush is specially designed to reach every fold and wrinkle.
Now that's my favorite part. Every fold and wrinkle.
It's not a large area. It's not like we're trying to buy a product to paint an entire house with. I mean,
right.
It really is just a tiny little area. How much brush do you need for every fold and wrinkle?
Not how much, many folds think. Do you have?
Right.
Maybe you should take care of that. I mean, come on.
I mean, look, I know the thing about infomercials is they got to sell, man.
Sure.
They got to hype it up. They got to make everything sound great. But is this just a brush? Is that all? Is there anything special or exceptional about this program or not?
It's the perfect shape to take care of that area. That's all.
Okay. Yeah.
And it also looks like it costs 4 cents.
Tops.
Maybe. But wait, there's more.
Plus, there's a soft silicone brush for fingertip control. Literally.
Now, this is a brush that you can put on. It's you literally put your finger in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what Yo Gabba Gabba is, it looks just like Fufa. That you just slide Fufa right onto your finger, and then you could just do your business back there with your own finger.
Now, I feel like if you have the stick with the little thing, why do you need the finger?
I mean, question has never been asked before. Never been asked worse before. Right? I think it's personal preference. I think there are some people who maybe don't want to dig that deep, get that close. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think there are people who want a little distance between themselves and the butt.
My Shiny Hiney is especially handy if you have a limited range of motion due to age, injury, or stiffness. Good hygiene is the first defense against infections and disease. My Shiny Hiney puts unparalleled cleaning power right in your hand. Order My Shiny Hiney now for just
$19.99.
Wow. Hey, what kind of infections and diseases are happening that I'm not aware of?
I don't know.
What is it I should have been terrified by my whole life and didn't know until My Shiny Hiney came around that I'm in danger of?
I don't know, but it seems to be geared toward much older people because they say, you know, as you age, maybe you don't have the
mobility to reach it. There's
exactly
a long handle, so it's
I mean,
it's
the handle
easy.
Is like 3 feet long.
You could
get it from the other room.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Order My Shiny Hiney now for just $19.99 and experience the joy of feeling truly clean. And there's more. My Shiny Hiney Cleansing Cream. Available in three fragrances.
Three fragrances.
That's great. So you're now putting perfume on your butt?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Removes odors and impurities to leave you feeling fresh and smelling great all day long. And for a brighter complexion, there's My Shiny Hiney Lightning Cream.
Okay, now, this is to have the effect of bleaching the beehole.
Sure.
Because you don't want it to be, maybe you don't want it to be as dark as it is.
No, mm-hmm. No one wants that.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know who knows what color it is.
People know, okay. Yeah.
Well, if it's too dark for your liking, they have a lightning cream that will change it.
Now, I guess I'll ask you, Allie, because you're in the dating pool. But are people judgy now as to what that area is looking like? I mean, are they rating
it? I feel like
it
started a while ago with porn stars. And porn stars would go into this place and get their beehole bleached. And then it kind of made it a little more mainstream.
But we were just talking about how they seem to be shooting for 70, 80, 90-year-olds that have no mobility. Why do they care?
Lots of folds and wrinkles.
I don't think they do. What color it is?
I don't think they do.
Well, it's
maybe,
available.
Well, it comes with it. Maybe give it to your grandchild.
Maybe don't do that.
So is there now shame in the beehole community if you're just going natural like it used to be if you didn't, you know, you didn't shave or whatever? I mean, is it the point where now you're kind of required to do something if you hadn't been before?
Is there a beehole community?
There is, yeah, for sure.
I'm glad we're going to Allie as the spokesperson for the beehole community,
Thank you.
By the way.
The unique container dispenses the perfect dose of this gentle lightener, which quickly fades dark skin for a more even tone. All ingredients in our products meet or exceed cosmetic quality standards and are made in the USA. Order now and get My Shiny Hiney in your choice of color and texture, plus two extra brush heads, the fingertip brush, and shower holder, all for just $19.99.
That's a great deal.
I mean, it seems like a great deal.
I love that they give you extra brush heads because you're really gonna
you're
going to use this
town.
So much, you're going to wear it out.
Yeah.
You're going to need backup brushes.
When you destroy this one, we've got another one for you.
We did put the video up on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page if you'd like to see it for yourself.
You're all getting this for Christmas, by the way.
I was not convinced until I heard that it was made in the USA, and now I'm all in.
Right?